Well, good morning. You know, one day in Kalinga, it will be cool again. All right? Go to the coast, right? Let's go over there. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I'm asking, Father, please, that you accomplish your work your way through this message this morning, that you, dear Holy Spirit, will truly preach it and carry it to our hearts, and may we hear the things you have for us to hear. I just pray, Father, please, that we will know that we are in your house because you are here with us. We know that you're in our hearts, but let us recognize you in each of our presence as we've come together to worship you and to hear your word. And I just pray your honor this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're doing our missionary work, and there's this young couple, very young couple. They were both blind. They both were born with sight, but they lost their sight through diabetes, and they had two boys, and they were raising their two children. And we were starting our mission church, and we had, the mission church was basically just an old strip mall with an old grocery store, and we set up 15, 25 chairs of any chair we could grab a hold of, a kid's chair, adult chair, whatever, did not matter. So it was a conglomeration of all these chairs in this semicircle facing the pulpit. And so I'm preaching along and I hear, like this, you know. And what happened was that Tina and Michael were both saved. Tina was more focused on God, more desirous of serving him. She had that focus in her heart. She received Christ, but she was excited about her walk with God. Michael, on the other hand, had made a profession of faith, but had no real zeal for God and his word. And so Michael would often fall asleep in church. When God was working with Michael, and Michael started changing. So when I heard the like this, automatically, Tina thought it was him. Well, because they're blind, Michael always brought his seeing eye dog with him. And so the seeing eye dog's laying down on the floor next to Michael's chair. Tina goes, "Michael!" Kind of like in almost an under breath, but not quite. Michael, what? Stop snoring. It's not me, it's the dog. Now, in thinking about that, I'm thinking, they were really an encouragement and an amazing couple to me and to Kathy, because, you know, it's one thing to raise two boys that are boys, quote unquote, wild, rambunctious boys, but raise them blind, do all the house chores blind, do everything blind, can't see a thing blind. They even adopted a daughter later on blind, right? Michael never really kind of shifted in his completely until they moved to Utah, and in Utah he was crossing a crosswalk and a truck hit him, and he flew over the truck and got injured quite badly, but he didn't die. It was then that he got serious about using his gifts for the Lord, and he was going to a church, and he helped the church identify all the different things that would help with handicapped people and what to do to help, and that was his ministry area in his church in Utah. They encouraged me. Because in spite of their lack of sight, they had a great sense of humor. I could tell you a lot of other stories about them and the humor that they had constantly. But the faith that they had to rely on God to help them and to provide for them was great. And so having said that, the key word here this morning is encouragement. That we're to focus on encouragement. You know, our series of messages is on freedom. And so we have a freedom to be encouragers in Christ, a freedom to be encouragers in Christ. Michael and Tina were encouragers even though they didn't know it necessarily. They were encouragers because of their commitment, their faith, even to face the challenges that they had in their lives. Let me ask you a couple questions. When you think of your church, are you encouraged? That's important to think about, I think. Because our church should be an encouragement to us. That's my church. That's where I go to church. I'm proud of my church. I'm encouraged by my church. Okay? Number two, are you encouraged in your involvement in your church? Because God has called each one of us to serve in church. Just like Michael, he started serving by handicap ministries and how to set things up in his church. Okay? So are you encouraged in your service to church? And are you encouraged by each other Do we encourage one another? That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be encouraging each other. We're supposed to be excited about our church. We're supposed to be excited about our service. And we should be encouraged to represent the church that God has for us and that we're part of, to help be that vessel to draw people in. When you don't feel like you're encouraged in church, of your church, or positive about your church, you might feel like, I don't want to invite anybody to church. And in all honesty, I think at times we've been there. And at other times we haven't. More times than not, praise God. We need to have that encouragement in our heart and our spirit about our church and about our service and about encouraging one another, because we are the children of God in a world of darkness. I mean, hear that again. We are the children of God. We are the body of Christ. We are Christians. We are God's children of light placed in a world of darkness. And all the odds are stacked against us on a logical basis. You stand on the morals and the truths of God's word and the world around us, but God is our strength. He indwells us. He's called us. He's empowered us. He's enabled us to be the people that he wants to be in this world that we live in. We're called to worship the Lord. How many of you have ever heard these two expressions? And I would be surprised if any of you said, I have not heard this expression before. I can worship God under a tree. Now, when I was a brand new Christian, meaning after I had made a professional public statement of faith in Christ, the 4 years after that time of walking forward, I didn't have a church. I had done that on vacation at my uncle's church. And I would go out in the Everglades, and the Everglades isn't all salt grass and water. There were sand dunes, and there were hammocks of trees and things like that out there. And I would ride my bike out there, and I would lay down beneath a hammock of trees, and I would play my guitar as a drum, not as a string instrument, and maybe pick a few little strings. But I would worship God, and I could say, well, I can worship God there. We can worship God anywhere at any time. In fact, God wants us to worship him all of the time. But when we hear people say, I can worship God under a tree, they're saying, I don't need church. In fact, you might say, I don't need organized religion or church to worship God. I've heard that. Have you? I don't believe in organized religion. I don't need to go to church. I don't see the relativity of it. I don't see why it's so important. Well, what's important is that we as brothers and sisters in Christ are there to encourage each other. We're to build up or to edify, to help strengthen each other in our walk with Christ, to be all that God would have us to be. And so we should use our freedom in Christ, and we do, to go to church. But why? Why do we choose in our freedom and the liberty that we have to make the choice? We have the freedom in America and in our walk with Christ to go to church and to worship him. And so why do we do that? Well, the core reasons I've already stated, and that is we are to encourage each other. How do we encourage each other? I tell you what, you can walk, you or I or any of us can walk in a room and not say a word to anybody, but we're encouraged just to see you here. We're encouraged. We might look for somebody that's laid on our heart, God's laid on our heart, and we see them walk through the doors or in church and we're going, that's a blessing to me. But there's some other types of encouragement that can come by a kind word in due season. I mentioned that last week. It's like a apples of gold on a tray of silver or a platter of silver is a picture of beauty. But we are to encourage each other. But the only way you and I can encourage each other is to be aware of each other. And I've said it many times that we have a tendency in our own culture to make ourselves our own island, separate from everybody else, doing our own thing, where God wants us to be a corporate body working together, unified together, bonded together, watching out for each other, loving each other, aware of each other, and knowing when they're, we might see that person walk in the door and say, we know they're having a rough day or they're down, and we pray for them. Or we might go and God might lay it on our heart to say something to them to encourage them. Or whatever the case is, some way that we can identify how to say something or do something to encourage each other to do what? to stand up as believers as Christ, to not get discouraged in our walk with Christ, to not get discouraged in our faith in Christ. You say, well, Pastor, just because I'm at church and I'm doing my own thing doesn't mean I'm discouraged. Look, if we're standing up for God, we can easily get beaten down by circumstances around us. We can easily, because the enemy wants to beat us down. But if we have brothers and sisters in Christ who genuinely care for us and we for them, then we can come alongside them like Aaron came alongside Moses and stood beside him for strength. And we could be there for them to help encourage them to stand up and be the Christian people that God intends for them and each one of us to be. So we're to encourage each other so that we can stand in our faith and grow in the Lord. Truth be known, people that say I can worship God in their tree or I don't need to go to organized religion or some church to worship God, I have never, ever, ever in my entire Christian walk, not just ministry, seen any of them grow mature in Christ. It is absolutely essential and imperative that every believer in Christ, every child of God, comes together into his house to worship him collectively, corporately, as a family, as a body in Christ, and to support each other, and to encourage each other, and to be there for each other, and to lift up each other, and to be aware when we're down, be aware when we're up, be aware when we're growing, be aware when we need to be challenged, whatever the case is, that we help each other be what God wants us to be. And I think it's amazing how sometimes God will put it on our heart, in our mind, our heart, or stomach, or bowel, whatever, that internal part of us that identifies that we can see something in someone else that they don't necessarily see in themselves. And God can put it on our heart to encourage them with that they might grow in the Lord. Living faithful lives for Christ in this world requires the encouragement and support of one another in our church family. As a community of believers, we can stand strong in faith together. We have, this is not a suggestion of Scripture. This is not just a strategy of a good plan. This is not another option that we have as Christians in order to grow that much more in Christ. It is an imperative. It is a command. He said, I don't like hearing the word command, Pastor. God commands us to come together and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together because he wants us to have the support and the encouragement and the collectivity of the body of Christ to stand strong in a world of darkness that each of us lives in. King Solomon in his wisdom said in Ecclesiastes 4:12, the second part, part B of that verse, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. If I take a thread and tie it around a brick and it's just one thread and I pick it up, the thread might break. But if I put three threads together, oh boy, and you twist it together and tie it around that rock, you might pick it up successfully. And that's the idea. When we're bonded together, when we're interwoven with each other in a sense of not just individual identity, but collective identity as a body, that's really there supporting each other and for each other and loving each other and helping each other with the ups and downs and the challenges, the weaknesses and strengths, or wherever we're at, but we know we have that support as a church family, we can stand stronger in the world because anybody that chooses to stay out of church and worship under a tree will not grow in Christ and become who God wants them to be. It just does not happen because that's not God's plan. That's not God's purpose. That's not what God wants. We are strong together, and our freedom in Christ will only get better when we are together. Hebrews 10:23, again, you might be fully aware of this passage. Hebrews 10:23 through 25, which says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let us hold on to the confession of our faith. I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I have him in my heart. I am his child. I have the promise of God that he is with me and will never leave me nor forsake me. I know where I'm going when I die. I know that God has a purpose for my life. If I choose to follow him, I will discover that purpose. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We don't have to waver. We can stand strong. But I tell you what, when we have each other saying, you're facing this circumstance in your job, or in your school, or in your family, or in whatever scenario that you're in, and you have a brother or sister in Christ, or others come up who are aware that you've shared this with, come up beside you and say, whatever counsel they have to encourage you to remain faithful in that, that fortifies you. That fortifies us to be what God wants us to be in times that are difficult to stand. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We're think about each other. Consider one another. For what reason? To stir up the love that we're to have for God and for each other and for people. That we might be encouraged to say, you know, God loves you. Don't forget that. He understands. He knows where you're at. You may know that. We may accept that. We may have no qualms with that. But it's great to hear that and be reminded of that sometimes from others. We are to encourage each other and stir our hearts to love and to good works. To do the things that are right in God's eyes are good works that the world doesn't necessarily like. In most cases, they do not. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. There it is. That's an imperative. That's a command. God says, I do not want. No, he says, I command you. I am telling you, do not forsake coming together as believers in Christ. Why? Because we need each other to stand strong together. We need each other to encourage each other through the trials and struggles. We don't want to be the lone bird. We want to be the bird that flies together with the others. Birds of a feather flock together. That type of a thing. Roll with me. Just roll with me. Okay? And so, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. This is not something that was unusual. But exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. We're to build each other up. Lift each other up. As we see the approaching, the closer we get to Christ's return, the darker the world will become. The closer we get to Christ coming back, the more difficult it will be to stand in a world of darkness. And we need each other to help us stand. As God, the Holy Spirit, works through our hearts, touches our heart to say something or to encourage each other or to come alongside or to give each other a hug or whatever. Did you know? And we don't do this in our culture, but Scripture mentions the holy kiss. Did you know it's like living in Italy? When you say hello, you kiss each other. If you were in Russia, and Russia, it don't matter. It does not matter what gender you are. You kiss each other. You give each other a kiss on the cheek. In some cultures, and I'm glad we don't live in this culture, even flat on the lips. But you know what? There's a sense of community that says, I love you. That's what God is trying to tell us, that we're to receive each other with such warmth and love and encouragement that says, this is your family in Christ. Not necessarily from an idealistic point of view about church. It's a sense that moves in our spirit and our heart that says, we really do belong to each other for the cause of Christ. That's what God wants us to encourage each other to do. We're encouraged to hold on to our faith, the gospel, the word of God, and the promises that he has given us, as I mentioned before. When I think about caring and loving from one another, I think about some expressions. One is keep a watchful eye on. Now, that could be on a negative connotation. It could say, that one's trouble, keep an eye on. But no, I'd rather look at the positive side of it, of saying, watch carefully out of love for your brethren. Keep an eye on one another. Watch, be aware, encourage, be there for each other. And the other phrase is a Hebrew phrase, a Hebrew idiom that says, you are the apple of my eye. Did you know that you and I are the very focus of God? We are the crowning joy in His life. We can't fathom that. We don't even reason why or how that's possible, but we are. And we're to look at each other with an eye of love and endearment toward each other that is rich in Christ, because Christ loves us that way. In other words, our friendships in Christ, our church family relationship, should cause us to look out for each other. That's hard to do. We're so independent, we're our own little world, our own lives, all this stuff. We're all so private, all this stuff. Sure, we don't want to lay out our laundry to everybody, but sometimes we need to lay out some laundry. Even some skivvies, so to speak. Things get ugly. But life gets ugly, and sometimes it has to be laid out. And we need the support of others to help us to get through that. And so we are to look out for each other. That's what the word consider means in the Greek. It means to observe fully, behold, discover, perceive. We are to be aware of each other, not just living our lives and coming to church and going home. We are to be connected to each other, loving each other, aware of each other, cognitive of where each person is and their are they having a good day, a bad day, a rough day? Do they need encouragement? All those things that I've always mentioned. We need to help each other to stand so we can strengthen. My church family loves me. God loves me. My church family loves me. They know my weaknesses. They know my strengths. They know who I am. They know when I need encouragement. They're there for me. And I am determined to stand for Christ as God calls me to, because God has encouraged me through my family. That's what God wants. That's why He says in a command, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because it's very important to God that we understand how important it is to be together. We can, you know it, and I know it, we can all be disconnected from each other, do our own thing, come to church and go home. That's a fact. We have a choice whether we connect with each other with a genuine deep love. Now, that's not to say that we don't have a genuine love for one another, but I'm talking about a clear, obvious connection of love and care and concern for each other in Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to pay attention to each other because we love each other, because we're aware of each other. The scripture talks about, says we're to provoke each other to love and good works. Provoke is a negative term in my mind. I'm going to provoke you. Kind of like the rod and the stick and poke you along. No, you, yes. You, all the time. Just, yeah. No, it's to motivate. Instead of doing the poke along, it's to come along. You know, we're to motivate each other with joy to be what God wants us to be. But everybody poke Tim, because he obviously wants that, likes that, and expects that. We're to motivate each other's faith. We're to encourage each other to love and to do good works. Encourage each other to love each other. Encourage each other to show good works. Encourage each other to do the things that are pleasing to God. Live in this hostile world, standing specifically against the things that the world, how do I word that? Stand in a world confidently. This world This world is hostile toward us when we stand for God. So if we're standing for God, it's kind of like, what's that? The mosh pit is this, right? When you're stuck together, you're jumping up and down. I'd pass out. But what's that part where you're up on the stage and you fall back? Huh? Ground surfing?
Crowd
surfing. Wow, there would be strong waves to catch me. But we should have that type of thinking, that I have a crowd of brothers and sisters in Christ that if I stand and fall back, I am safe. They will carry me. That's what God wants. We need that. We don't need to be lone islands. We need the examples and encouragement of each other to stand strong in the Lord. Mike and Tina, as just one example. They stood strong in the Lord. Tina in particular, did so. The problem is, as we mentioned here in Hebrews, that even the first century church, when the book of Hebrews was written in AD 64, even the first century church, Christians were skipping church. We want to say, well, that's the times of apostasy. Yes, prophetically, the last days the church will become weaker and weaker and fall away from God. There will be a point of some revival, that type of a thing. And we have a tendency to blame it on the last days, which is still somewhat valid. But skipping church is nothing new. Why is that? Because Satan, our adversary, knows that God commanded that we go to church. So we could be encouraged, could be supported, could body surf spiritually as a family in Christ. And he knows if he keeps us out of church, we're not going to be the person God wants us to be in the world that is so hostile toward us for standing for Christ. And so he does his best to keep brothers and sisters in Christ from being part of the church family, let alone come to church. And we cannot live the Christian life without one another. See, well, that's kind of a bold statement. We cannot live the Christian life without one another. We cannot be the person or be effective or be the representative that God intends for us to be without one another. We cannot solo mission or walk with Christ. It's not God's plan. We're the body of Christ. And God wants us to be encouragement to one another. We're not able to love God as he would have us to. There's a thought. Can't grow deeper in love with God if you're not doing what he says. I mean, simple as it may be, the word says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are. So if we don't do what God said, we're sinning. And when we sin, we do not walk close with God. There it is. We stand much more boldly for Christ when we don't stand alone. Isn't that true? Gangs stand bolder as a gang because they got the gang with them. Right? And we could categorize that in so many different ways of how people, birds of a feather, flock together again. And so we stand stronger when we stand in Christ, when we stand with one another in Christ. Thomas Constable, a commentator in the notes on Hebrews, said, quote, this type of love is the product of communal activity. We cannot practice it in isolation from other believers. This type of love is the product of communal activity. We cannot practice it in isolation from other believers. We cannot experience that sense of that bond. See, so I think sometimes we confuse family and Christ in the local church. And by that I mean, we all go to the same church, therefore we're all family. That's not true. What makes us family is not that we go to the same church, but how we relate to each other in that church family. We may be all coming to the church, but it doesn't make us family. And we have to be careful that we love each other through thick and thin, because God loves us through thick and thin. And that we look for the encouragement that God would have us to give to one another. We need to understand, too, that there's diversity. You know, birds of a feather flock together because they have common ground together. You might say, well, you know what, this group of people, these are young adults, they are basically the same bracket of income. the college group, or they're out of high school, they're trying to find their career line, they're in the same place in life, all those types of things. But when we come together in church, we don't have that collectiveness in that sense as the body of certain groups, young adults and college groups or young adults or youth. And we're not segregated that way, at least we should not to be. We interrelate with each other. My grandchildren love people in this church. Love people in this church. Now, I don't know, this is not a cut, but I'm saying it's good. But she's always saying, Bobby, where's Bobby? Is Bobby there? Is Bobby there? You know what I mean? On Tuesdays, is Bobby there? What is happening there? There's an interaction there that here's someone that's young old. You know, you're young at heart, but you're older. Interacting with our little granddaughter. When we had multicultural membership, one year we had seven different ethnic identities within our church family. Different backgrounds, different way of thinking things, different perspectives, different age groups. All these types of things intermixed together helps us to see things from different perspectives that enable us to stand even stronger or even to discover answers that we would not find in our own group that we associate by identity with. So as a church family, we must stay together because there's diversity of gender and in our backgrounds and in our perspectives. And by this, we can encourage one another. It's not uncommon to hear people say in so many words, I love Jesus, just not church. Isn't that sad? I love Jesus, just not church. Why? Because they don't see the church is important. They don't know why it should be important. They don't see the connection. They don't have the relationships. The needs aren't being met. I love Jesus, but I don't need church. That's sad. One Barna study among unchurched adults showed this, quote, that nearly 4 out of every 10 non-church-going Americans, about 37%, said they avoid churches because of negative past experiences in churches or with church people. I have never had a negative experience with my wife or children. You go, right. Have you and your families never had a negative experience? What keeps you together as that family? Your family. That love is established. It's there. It's not going away. That's security in the love that you have for each other. God wants the same for us. Never, ever should anybody leave any church and say, I'll never go back because of this, for two reasons. One, that's their scapegoat. They've made an excuse not to follow God. Two, they miss out on what God wants to do in and through their lives for his glory. They miss out. They miss out on being all that God would have them to be. Noting this, let's all remember two things. The church is made of broken, sinful people. Give us each a break. We're sinners. Don't give us an excuse. Give us a break. We're all sinners. We're not perfect. We're going to be selfish, whatever. Fill in anything we want to. We're going to blow it. But we're family if we identify that way with each other. We're the body of Christ. That's secure. When we're in heaven, we're going to be more family than we ever realized. Never to be taken away. But God wants us to represent that family here, in this place, right here, as we follow the Lord. The church is made of broken, sinful people, and God still chooses to use us. Amazing, isn't it? The church, for his purpose. And two, every church has the opportunity to be a spiritually healthy, faithful church. You don't just accomplish that and say, I'm done. You can't say, I'm married now. 5 years later, we've made it. We've succeeded in marriage. We can't say that my career has I've done what I've accomplished, but and leave it at that. But there's always room for growth. See, there's always a challenge that lies before us. We're in the world, and we can be a positive impact on those that are watching the church, those that are involved in the church, in a way that is good and that glorifies God. Don't hear me? Those that have been burned by church are watching church. Those that are lost, not Christians, are watching Christians and the church. Those that are involved in church are looking for that positiveness to be built up and to be helped. The ups and downs, the weaknesses and strengths, whatever the case might be. And we're to learn what is good and that glorifies God. In Revelation 3, 7 and 8, it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Who's the he? Jesus. What's the power? The keys. What's the opportunity, open door or closed door? How and why does God open the door? The how is by his power. The why is in here. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Here's the why. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. You say, well, okay, let's look at the church. Well, we preach the word. Pastor preaches right from the word. Our Sunday school classes teach the word. Our cell groups teach the word. So we're doing that. Now, we're talking not just that. We're talking about us individually. We are to uphold the word. We realize that we don't have the strength, but God does and is our strength. And we uphold his word. We hold tightly to his word. We have not denied our position that we are his children in a world of darkness. We have been faithful to him, committed to him, following him through the thick and thin, through everything. It doesn't matter. Christ is my Lord. He's your Lord. We've chosen to live for him. I had a pastor tell me, we're going to wrap this up here. Pastor tell me years ago, co-pastor, let me clarify that. This is a co-brother in Christ when we are young pastors. And I hate saying young pastors, when we were young pastors. When we were first coming up in the ministry. His name was Dale. And I remember sitting hearing him preach. He says, you know what happens is that people receive Christ and it's like a leaf. Here's their leaf. This leaf represents their life. They have Christ. And they follow and they go to church and they do what they think they ought to do. But they never get to a place where, or many never get to the place where, but some have gotten to the place where, here I'm getting to the point, where the leaf turns over and says, God is number one in my life, not me anymore. You see, this side is me. I have Christ, and I'm going to do as I choose. That's best for me. That's what I want to do. That's living for me. But when we come to a mature place in our walk with Christ where the leaf turns over and we say, it's no longer about me. It's about Jesus and living for him. Not every Christian makes that decision. Many are content with just knowing him and knowing where they're going, but not getting to a place where it's all about you, Lord, what you want. The church in Philadelphia were obedient. And doors were opened to them. The church of Philadelphia was obedient and doors were opened to them. Not just as a church collectively in ministry, but individually in their walk and jointly together. They were obedient. We're obedient, opened doors. We too can be that faithful, shining church and faithful Christians in a sinful world. So we need to encourage one another and others in the body of Christ outside this church family. We know Christians that don't go to church, have convinced themselves, they don't want to, they don't need to, it doesn't matter. But we can be an encouragement to them and say, look, you're missing out. Encouragement to them to walk with God. we can motivate them to good works in each other. In your bulletin, there's a list of 19 ways to encourage one another. I was reading over this list. I said, Kathy, some of these things on this list sound kind of romantic. She says, so what? You can still do it if God leads you to in the right application, right? But there's some ideas for how to encourage each other. I really want us to take seriously what's being said here this morning, myself included. Ask God to help us to be an encouragement to others in greater ways. We need it. Every one of us needs encouragement. We need it to be able to stand that much stronger in Christ. And so let's use our freedom in Christ to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord so that we can live bolder for Him. We live bolder for Christ, that we can mature in the Lord as God wants us to, and that we can be a friend to people who need a friend and make a difference in the world. That's what God wants. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I want to thank you for your word. Father, you encourage us all the time. When we are focused on you and listening to you, you know our downs, you know our ups, you know our frustrations, you know our anxieties, you know all about us. But you encourage us. You give us an insight when it's time for you to give that insight and encourages us. You remind us that in our spirit that you're right there with us and that you love us. You talk to us in different ways that help us to be reminded that your love sustains us. But we're to reflect you. We're your children. We're to take on your character. As you have loved us with mercy and grace and faithfulness and goodness and kindness, let us also share that with others. As you have encouraged us, let us remember to encourage others. But it takes each one of us stepping out of our own world that we live in and letting our world be open and connect with others so we can be there that much more for one another. I pray you're blessed that. If there's someone here today, Father, that does not know Jesus, does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, speak to them right now and tell them that you love them no matter what. And you want to come live in their heart and open their hearts to receive you. That they would pray a prayer and say, Lord, you know, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. I know you paid for my sins on Calvary. Come live in my heart that I might live a new life in you. May they do that. And may they make it known to those around that they have done so. That they would show that they're not ashamed in private in that decision, but that decision will glorify you. Father, we ask these things in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.